I'd like to start with the question, do you see yourself as a rebel, or perhaps even a revolutionary? Would you ever join Extinction Rebellion? Could you see yourself gluing your face to a motorway for a good cause? There are Christian groups within this and similar organisations, but what do you think? Should we be rebels? Should we align ourselves to an organisation who states that they want to involve everybody to support civil disobedience as a tool? To be lawbreakers, even if it is for the greater good, as we say in Wales. It always makes me feel a little uncomfortable seeing Christians demonstrating to proclaim a cause, however good it might be, when they seem less bold in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. This morning, we continue the series on the Lord's Prayer, or perhaps the Disciples' Prayer. Jeremy, last week, shared, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. You remember he spoke about the balance of intimacy and respect that we should have towards God. And I'm totally with Jeremy in that, along with his dislike of action songs. This week, we're moving on to the next phrases, which are, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So before we start, let's pray together. Father God, we pray that this morning your words come alive and are illuminated to us, that through studying these words, we are not just challenged, but we're changed. Let these words mould us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, back to the opening question, should we be rebels and revolutionaries? Wasn't Jesus a lawbreaker? Didn't he break the Sabbath? I'm not so sure that he was ever a lawbreaker. Pilate didn't found him not guilty of any crime. Perhaps that's one of these things we need to study for ourselves. But what Jesus certainly did do was to stand up against the status quo. Not a rebel for the sake of rebellion and anarchy, but a rebel for the sake of God's truth, his purposes and his will. The Jews had turned the Sabbath law into a tradition of bondage through religion rather than a celebration of liberation, which is how it was always intended to be. Jesus rebels for the sake of the divine rule of God. Thy will be done. So let's ask the question again, should we be rebels? I put it to you that as soon as we pray, Thy will be done, you become one. The prayer is a petition for rebellion against the status quo. I've always seen this as a prayer for the world, but it's also a prayer for us individually. It is our rebellion against the world's values and our rebellion against our circumstances, pleading God would intervene in these things. That God's authority would reign in our lives and in the world. So how can we rebel and follow God's will? Perhaps we have to sometimes step in at a personal cost so that God's light shines, refusing to be a part of an inappropriate conversation, or to step out where perhaps I'm blocking the view, albeit with the best intentions. It's my ministry and my opinions just justifying me and not allowing others around me to grow and flourish. We have to be brave and to be honest here. These things are really countercultural. I had a conversation with my son-in-law Josh about this, and not wishing to embarrass him, but he's a very wise fellow, and he was saying how easy it is to caveat a prayer by ending it with the line, but let your will be done. As this is a kind of inevitable resignation, yet in reality, it's a brave prayer, trusting God's greater wisdom and purpose and glory. Nothing destroys faith as quickly as resignation. And all times, Jesus declared, we should pray and not lose heart, thereby acquiescing to what is the status quo. So let's now go on to think about thy kingdom come and see how that fits in, because it's all part of this one sentence, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." These things are totally interdependent. For God's will to be done in our life, his kingdom must come. And for his kingdom to come, his will must be done. The Bible talks about a future kingdom and a future rule of God, but it also speaks of a present one. The present kingdom of God is us, those who serve and are sons and daughters of the King. And as citizens, we are called to be witnesses of God in submission to his will. His purposes will only be revealed through us, though, if we are submitted to him. Otherwise, it will be our purposes that will come through. First of all, though, we have to discover what his purposes are, and we need God-given grace and wisdom, as well as courage and honesty to do that. Expressing God's will in our own knowledge and authority is a recipe for disaster. You often hear people who seem to know the Bible inside out, but have never actually met the author. It's like knowing how to cook a Sunday lunch without ever tasting one. It looks good on the plate, but it's probably undercooked or cold, and it certainly isn't seasoned. The better we get to know a person, the more acquainted we will become with their desires, and there is no substitute for us spending time in God's presence. And as we start to see God's will revealed, and we are then called to act on it, even if it might be a bit daunting. This may be putting ourselves into a vulnerable place. But if we trust in God's promises, we can be confident. Because Romans 8:28 promises us, and it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, and who has been called according to his purpose." Have you been called to his purpose? Yes, you have. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, you certainly have been. And as you step out in the honest belief that you are acting in the will of God, he promises to draw you round, even if you get it slightly wrong. We are called also to trust our brothers and sisters to give us good wisdom and good counsel in these things, and we should be doing that as well. But there is no excuse at all for us to be standing still. And we can see that if we do move, the incredible power of God that will prevail if we fulfill thy will be done. Did you know that the entire life of Jesus on earth starts and ends with the statements, "Thy will be done," in submission to God? In Luke, we read the account of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, telling her that she is to bear Jesus. And her response was this. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, and let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel then departed from her. And later, of course, in the same book, we read the account of Jesus in the garden shortly before the crucifixion. And in Luke 22:41, it says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." What courage we saw displayed there. Mary put her relationship with Joseph on the line. How could he ever believe this story? She was facing becoming a laughingstock, publicly shamed and possibly killed. Yet she still said, in that knowledge, she said, "Thy will be done." And the sacrifice was immense. She ended up a refugee in a foreign culture and watching her son executed. Sacrifices were great, but the victory was immense. For Mary, his kingdom came, and she saw that it was done. And because his will was done, his kingdom came. It's like an interdependency. It's quite stunning to see. And of course, Jesus, you talk of courage, doesn't start to describe it. The sacrifice was ultimate and the victory eternal. Sacrifice and victory go hand in hand. And that's true for us too, because enacting God's will is sacrificial. I know I'm not selling this very well, but it's unlikely to be to the extent that Mary faced challenges, or that we would be sacrificing our life. But we are called to embark on a journey to follow God's will, to pour out our hearts to our Father God, to submit to his authority, thy kingdom come, to commit to his purposes, thy will be done, to step towards his will. It's not inevitable that it will come, his will will come to pass. After all, his will is that I would not sin, but I do. We need to be active in this. But through personal sacrifice, there will be victory. And if we act in the direction we believe he has set us, we can be confident he'll draw us back if we get it wrong. We just need to continue to listen to him, stepping out in faith, but not always expecting perfection. J.K. Chesterton said, if a thing's worth doing, it's worth doing badly, because we've got to take the risk, and even if we fail sometimes. But there is always going to be a cost, but we will thrive in this place. A fulfilled life is one where we know the purposes of God in it, and we are called to be on the journey towards it. I love it that our church doesn't just ascend to principles and theology. We follow God and act upon what we hear him say. So I just want to give us a brief opportunity to pray the brave prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And to spend just a few moments listening to God. We often want God to give us specifics, but it may be the start of a longer journey of discovery for you. He may be just calling you to wait on him with your hands open. Or God may be revealing something to you. It may be something you're already aware of, to step away from the role that defines you so that he can, shifting your gaze from yourself to him, to give over to him the control of your life and the anxiety that goes with it, to trust God that you can speak into a situation that you know you'll face tomorrow, to respond to God in his calling of you to sacrifice a day, or perhaps material possessions or money, or even to forgive the unforgivable and reach out to the perpetrator. We just need to place one thing on the altar before him as our act of submission. Amen.